A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week.
Woman spends thousands on a vet for farting dog before discovering real culprit.
Greg farts on a Spaniard's hand.
Rod poos his pants.
Greg's sister's friend Helen projectile vomits.
Shan drinks a pint of top shelf.
Rod and Greg get so drunk they steal another man's breakfast.
And what was supposed to be a lovely festive Christmas treat, instead the Froth Christmas special turns into a disgusting, debauched, foul festive feast of bodily fluids.
It really does. And those are the Christmas special headlines. Right then, the final episode of series 4, episode 48, the Christmas special. Our special guest, Greg Davis, coming up any minute. Before we get on with our frothy stories, quick plug for my tour, the Book of John stand-up tour, which finishes in 2022. I have finished for 2021, but tickets now on sale for next year's show, coming to a theatre near you. Rod Gilbert, the Book of John, it's the perfect Christmas gift. Check out my website, www.rodgilbertcomedian, for more details. From January through to June 2022, starting out in places like Stoke and Chesterfield and Peterborough and Glasgow, and then all over the shop until June 2022. Get your tickets now. Right then, let's get special guest all the way from over there, Greg Davis. Let's get him on. Where are you, Greg?
Woo-hoo! Greg!
It looks a bit like Father Christmas.
In shade.
It is the Christmas special episode of The Froth. Welcome, special guest Greg Davis. Present?
Christmas present.
Christmas present. Very nice. Shan Harris, present.
Hello.
Barry Castagnola, present.
Present.
Why are you wearing shades, Greg?
I'm not in shades. I'm wearing glasses.
Oh, right. Sorry, love. I thought you were in dark glasses.
Do you think I'm Roy Orbison?
Yeah. I thought you were abroad.
You definitely look like you've got shades.
Get out.
They look tinted, though.
They're not, love. Well, I think it's just because the light of my window is there. What if I do this?
Greg, unfortunately, regardless of the light of your window, you are going to look like Bono in this podcast to anybody watching it. You look an absolute bellend.
Nah.
Why?
Because you've got shades on. You look like Bono. Honestly, you've got shades indoors on a. Where are you?
But I haven't got shades on.
Yeah, but your glasses on this Zencaster recording
look like
sunglasses. You look like Bono.
You look like Bono.
Any listener or viewer is going to think you've got shades on.
No, that's better.
I'm impressed that you went for such a contemporary reference as Bono, because I went for Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
What? Yeah, all right.
You look like Roy Orbison.
You know what it's like when you're touring with the Travelling Wilburys?
95% dead now.
I can't think of anybody since Bono that wears sunglasses, that is known for wearing sunglasses indoors and on TV.
Have you not started to notice you're doing making old references though?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've Even I have
tipped over now.
Yeah. I don't know what's popular. Yeah. Anymore. Yeah. Fuck knows.
I do. I'm done with the kids.
You're not though.
I was speaking to an adult the other day who hadn't heard of the Smiths, and I almost attacked her.
What?
If it was socially acceptable, I would have been jumped on her like a puma. I was so distraught.
Well, you know what my one was? My one was when I was talking to a young adult, and they'd never heard of Mr. T. And and I was trying to explain who that was, and I couldn't. I wasn't doing it justice because it is ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
And how did you describe Mr. T?
I was like, okay, he used to wear loads of chains. He was in the A team, and I think was he a?
What's the A team?
Exactly. What's the A team? Okay, they were a gang. I think they were on the run. Fucking hell, I've no idea.
They were mercenaries, Sian.
Oh, I don't remember that bit at the top.
They were ex-military. But there's got to be a cut-off point, hasn't there? A cultural cut-off.
No,
point.
But we know who Henry VIII
is. I don't know much about Mr. Rogers, though. Do you?
No, nothing. I watched that film and I was like, I don't get it. I get that it's good.
What film are you talking about?
I know that Mr. Ed, the talking horse, they used to put peanut butter on the roof of his mouth to make him talk.
Is that all it takes to make animals talk?
Yeah, to make them look like they're talking, yeah. Oh. I'm not convinced he was actually talking.
That's very different. Right? They put butter on the top of his mouth to make it look like he was talking. It doesn't actually give him speech.
He doesn't actually go, get his peanut butter off my mouth.
Fucking Dr. Doolittle's less impressive now, isn't he?
Just going round with a slice.
Talk
a slice.
To the animals. Anyone can, mate. A jar of peanut butter. Anyone can.
What's that you got there, Dr. Doolittle? Is that a jar of sun behind you?
Nothing. No, what's that big jar in your hand? What's that big jar you've got in your hand? I haven't got a big jar in my hand. I can talk to the animals.
Why do you speak of peanuts?
Fucking hell, that's great, Doolittle. Oh, what a fraud Doolittle was.
So that's what they did, was it? By the way, I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you want me to talk to your parrot?
I don't know who Mr. Ed is.
He's a horse.
Or who Rogers? Who's Mr. Rogers?
That man. He's in the. Tom Hanks plays him. He's massive, and I didn't know who he was, but the film's still very good.
I still don't know who he is. Who is he?
Tom Hanks plays him.
I know who Tom Hanks is.
Children's entertainer.
He was a children's entertainer, but that's the point. There's a cultural cut-off. I mean, Mr. Ed's more of an American guy, anyway.
And he was a horse.
Mr. Rogers, I meant.
Yeah. All right.
There's several reasons why I don't know who Mr. Ed is. A, it's American. A, it's sort of it's chronological. It's before my time, I think. B, it's American. Yeah, but... And C, he's a horse, as Sian points out. I mean, that is the biggest gulf between us.
That was a big shot. But, like, we all know who Henry VIII is. Doesn't mean, like, we were alive in those days. It's just knowledge.
Yeah, you do that in school. You don't do the fucking 80s.
I think some major historical characters are going to live with us. But, like, I watched The Dam Busters, the film, the other day.
Yeah.
And I looked up the cast afterwards, and, like, half of the cast of The Dam Busters film were massive stars in their day. And I didn't know one of them. Yeah, I didn't know one of them.
It makes everything feel so futile, doesn't it?
I tell you what, if we had lost the kids a little bit with our preamble, we've certainly got them back now with you watching The Dam Busters. Is that the new one, the one that's just come out?
Hey, honestly, the kids want to get onto The Dam Busters story.
Really?
It's genuinely exciting.
I don't think we've ever seen it. We need to watch it.
This is supposed to be the Christmas episode, this. Where are you, Greg? Are you in your flat?
I'm in my flat, yeah.
I can see a Christmas tree.
You should watch The Dam Busters and then look up the truth of The Dam Busters. It's fascinating.
Can you shut up about The Dam Busters?
I don't know whether I can.
Greg, I can see. Is that a Christmas tree, love?
No, of course not.
What is it?
It's it's a fig bush that's taking over.
I'll tell you what, if we lost the kids again, you just got them back again right there with your fig bush, Greg.
But the thing about my fig bush is, like all things in my flat, at any minute, my cleaner, Chi-Chi, could decide that it no longer belongs here and simply kill it. But because she is the emperor of my flat, and that fig bush, I absolutely love it. But at any point, she could come in and go, no, and hack it down.
Tell them about the duvet and the cushions and all that.
I'm not going to tell you the duvet because it's too involved, but I will tell you this. That when I was in Spain, I bought a paella pan because I had notions that I was going to cook everyone a paella.
Right.
And it was huge. I brought it back from Spain. It was like fucking massive, beautiful paella pan. And I put it in my bottom pan drawer and I didn't use it. And then weeks later, one day, I thought I might make a paella for everybody tonight because some people were coming round. And I went to the drawer and I opened it. Nothing. It had gone. Right. And Chi-Chi came in later to clean. And I went, Chi-Chi? She can't speak a word of English, by the way. She's Romanian. And I went, Chi-Chi, you haven't seen a big pan? I pointed to the drawer like this. And she went, ah, yeah. She pointed to my bin and she went, rubbish.
Why?
And I went, you've thrown it away? She went, rubbish, yes. And I went, okay.
What? So no reason, just she didn't fancy it.
No reason.
Nothing to do with her.
She couldn't give me a reason if she wanted to. She doesn't have English. But the point is, I saw in her eyes there was going to be no attempt at an explanation. It was done.
Oh my God, I love her.
Now then, Greg,
and you know about the cuckoo clock in the goldfish bowl, Baz? Did I tell you about that?
No.
I've got a cuckoo clock. I hate it actually. But that's another story. I've got a cuckoo clock and I had a goldfish bowl. I don't know why I had a goldfish bowl. But every day, every Friday that she cleaned, she would get the goldfish bowl and put the cuckoo clock inside it. Put the cuckoo clock inside it, right? And every week I'd go, I don't want that cuckoo clock in the goldfish bowl.
I don't want it anyway, but I definitely don't want it in there.
I would take the cuckoo clock out, put it on the side, and then I put the goldfish bowl in the cupboard. And then the next week I come back and she found it and put the cuckoo clock
back. Have you tried to extract a reason?
No, we haven't even discussed it because it just happens in pattern. And well, it's just there all the time.
I would say, Greg, I would say that's maybe where you've gone wrong. Maybe you need to discuss it.
But I think that me removing the clock from the bowl is discussion enough. Well, I think that's the discussion.
I think Chi-Chi clearly disagrees.
He does. But I've had the last laugh because I smashed it on purpose.
What, the clock or the bowl?
Yeah, I smashed the bowl on purpose. And while I was doing it, I was going, you've fucking gone. You've finally lost it. To spite your cleaner, who I adore, by the way, I wrapped it in paper and was tapping it. Tapping it with a hammer, smashing it.
But not even smashing it in like fury or in a display. Of
No, I put it very gently safely in a bin and put some paper around it.
Like an elderly person.
Yeah. And then I stood by the cuckoo clock when she came in on the Friday. It was like, fucking game on. Good luck. Good luck putting that clock in something.
Do you use the cuckoo clock as a cuckoo clock? Do you wind it up and let it cuckoo?
I fucking despise that cuckoo clock. I should have smashed that. I had nothing against that goldfish bowl in retrospect.
Why did you get the cuckoo clock?
It's just one of those impulsive purchases I've regretted ever since.
Does it work? Does it come on?
It used to, but it annoyed me so much that I pop the battery out, so it's sterile. It doesn't even tell the time.
Oh, bang. My God. It's a battery-operated cuckoo clock. Austrians be turning in their grave. You've got to have one of those ones with the chains hanging down. They're really calibrated.
What do you mean they'll be turning? Are all Austrians dead, then?
What?
Why are they turning in their grave, collectively? Austrians.
Haven't you been reading the news?
Oh.
Now listen, it is Christmas. This is our Christmas special edition.
Woo!
Oh Christ, is it? It hasn't been very festive so far, has it?
Well, Greg's got his fig bush out.
Your fig bush.
I'm wearing dark glasses like Roy Orbison.
Yeah, you've got your fig bush out. We've got our little Christmas tree in the background there. I don't know if you can see it. Tiny little one I picked up from the garage.
I don't think they can see it.
There it is.
I can't, no.
There it is. It's Rod's
there is.
Over my shoulder. Can you see the tree over there.
Mike and the Mechanics reference for the kids.
Just to get the kids back from your Dambusters debacle. We have some Christmas stories. You know you're on the froth, Greg. You know the rules. I give you some frothy stories.
I never miss it.
Who was on last week?
I haven't caught up with last week's yet.
So when you say you never miss it.
Are you saying that unusually you missed it?
I'm saving it. I usually watch them back to back on a Saturday.
You watch them?
Watch them, do you?
You watch them, Greg, do you?
Interesting.
Hello?
Your screen froze then for a second. Was it all cross-eyed?
How do you know I'm cross-eyed if I'm wearing dark glasses?
They're not that dark. They're not completely... They're not blackout glasses.
I know, they're like Roy Orbison's.
Yeah, exactly. They're perfectly shaded. Now then, so we got a couple of frothy stories for you. Let's see which one wastes your time the most. That's what I want to know at the end of this. Which one has wasted your time more? So this one's very Christmassy.
My time.
Yeah, your time. They're both going to waste your time, but which one is going to waste your time
which
more?
Which is the most wasting of time?
That's right, the most wasting of time. Good phrase, Sean.
Isn't it?
That classic old English phrase.
The old wasting of time.
Which be the most wasting of time, old hag?
Here's your first story. It's very festive. Woman spends thousands on vet for farting dog before discovering real culprit.
Oh man!
I mean, it's all there in the headline, really. But I can give you a few more details if you want.
It sounds like the full story, really.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I mean, apart from the guy's name, I think it's all there.
We can fill in the gaps there.
Apart from the culprit's full name, I think we know what's going on here.
Well, who was the real culprit?
Was it her husband?
Sean, don't fucking spoiler alert.
Well. It's obvious.
Don't ruin who the culprit is already.
It is obvious.
We don't know yet.
Come on.
Woman spends thousands on vet for farting dog before discovering real culprit.
Well, she's a fucking idiot, isn't she?
You say that now. You say that now, but you wait till I tell you the full story.
Okay.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Nope.
I'll begin. Yeah,
you say that now, but wait till she sues you for defamation.
A concerned dog owner spent thousands on vet bills, thousands, for her gassy dog was stunned when she discovered where the foul stench was really coming from. She explained... I tell you what, I'm on tenterhooks to find out who it is. Are you?
No, I know who it is.
Honestly, I've just gone to my phone to see if anyone's texted me. And I'm not joking. I genuinely thought at this point in the story, I might see if anyone's texted me.
Well, on the front.
And they haven't.
In terms of which story's going to waste your time, that's a good sign for this story. It's doing well. She explained, this is the woman.
Okay.
She explained that she was eating dinner with her husband.
Hello, I was right. Come on.
We don't know yet.
Oh, come on. Right.
She explained she was eating dinner with her husband when she suddenly smelled something disgusting.
Can I tell you where I'm at this point in the story?
By all means.
My eyes are flicking over the photographs that are on my wall, and I'm seeing if some of the frames are not in line.
So do you remember where you were in the story, okay? She was eating dinner with her husband when she suddenly smelled something disgusting.
Well, it's either him or her food.
Well, let's see. My husband instantly made a face. So I knew it wasn't just me who smelled it, she said. I'm pregnant.
If she's pregnant, it'll be her. If she's pregnant, it'll be her.
Well, she says, I'm pregnant. My sense of smell has been a little sensitive in this time. I couldn't stand the smell, though, and I left the room. It honestly smelled like rotten eggs. I thought it was a one-off because the dog does fart, brackets, as do we. But a fart this stinky isn't normal, she said. Over the next week or so, the smell would come and go at random times.
I'm genuinely considering taking up knitting.
Don't knit anything just yet. The smell would come and go at random times, and it was impossible to get rid of, even with the help of candles and incense.
Candles?
Eventually, believing her adorable pooch, Jerry, was the source of the foul stench, she changed the dog's diet. But when that didn't fix the stench, she decided to take him to the vet. The vet ordered several expensive tests to figure out what was wrong with Jerry the pooch. But when the results came back, she was baffled. All the tests, and here's the mystery, all the tests showed that the dog was fine.
There's no mystery. We know it's her husband farting.
Oh, I think it's her. She's pregnant.
I'm losing my mind here.
You think she's pregnant so she can't feel herself farting?
When you're pregnant, your body lets off loads of gas. So you're not even aware of
it. Is that true, Sean?
Yeah, but you still feel it.
I don't know if you do.
Pregnancy doesn't give you a numb anus.
Well, it looks like this story. It looks like this story's captured the imagination.
It does, Greg. Pregnancy definitely gives you a numb anus. That's one of the things. That's why so many women go for it.
It's not. It's not in the top 10 things.
It is.
It is. It's number 8.
You're glowing, and my anus is numb.
Can't feel my anus. You look Greg, amazing. How's your anus?
Greg, how else are you going to know whether to offer your seat to somebody on the bus? So, the tests showed the dog was fine. I'm losing my mind here, she said.
With my numb anus.
I'm losing my mind here. My anxiety started kicking in. What if there's something wrong with him? What if we lose him? I'm so stressed out about the dog.
Who, her husband? Oh, the dog.
No, the dog. It all came to a breaking point and I burst into tears. I had a full-on meltdown about losing Jerry the dog. And then, you have to understand this nonsense has been going on for 5 weeks, my husband confesses the farts weren't the dog, they were him. I was furious. My husband revealed the truth. I kicked him out of the house.
So he let her spend thousands of pounds.
This is the point, Chan.
He left her.
No. She kicked him out of the house. I didn't mind that he lied in the moment, but he knew we were going to the vet. The vet was confused. I mean, that is the time to stop. That's the time to stop.
If there's not a better reason to leave your husband than your husband caused the vet to be confused, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard a better reason.
Listen.
That's going on the divorce papers. To leave him.
That is the time to stop. Once you confuse a vet, stop. Put it down, walk away from the prank.
But he must have been, when she was going to the vet with the dog, he was like waving her off, going, fucking hell, I should have said something, but this is getting out of hand.
They've spent, she goes, he even went to the vet appointments with me.
No. Oh my God.
It takes him
all the time feeling guilty.
Yeah.
It takes him a mental breakdown on my part to say the truth.
Wow.
Who are these people? They should just be fired into the sea, these people.
I told
also,
him.
So whose dog doesn't fart?
Yeah.
Our dog doesn't fart too badly, you know, question. Rosie. No, she doesn't fart too badly
at
the
moment.
She
does when she's eating something she shouldn't.
If a dog farts in the forest.
when we were kids, we had our dog Rex. My dad used to come into the front room and have with a pretend machine gun in his hand, and he would fart at us with the machine gun like this. So he would burst into the front room and go, but farting, and then he would try and blame the dog.
That, wouldn't have done this, though. He wouldn't have sent your mum into a panic attack and a full breakdown before admitting it, would he?
No.
He says, I told him in no uncertain terms he has to pay me back half of the vet bills out of his savings / fun money.
Fun money?
He's got fun money. Fun money? But...
Now, that's more interesting. Let's dig that into what his fun money is.
What does he do with fun money?
I don't know what fun money is, but he's going to have to spend half of it on the thousands of pounds of vet bills that they've racked up before he admitted it was him.
But why was she paying for the vet bills in the first? What, isn't it a shared thing?
I don't know the details of that. All I know is he's let them rack up thousands of pounds of vet bills before he's admitted it. And the vet is confused.
But
that's
we don't
worst.
Know her reaction to him farting in the past. Do you know what I mean? She may lose it when he farts or something.
I don't know. It says here, the pregnant woman who dealt with her dog's putrid-smelling farts for 5 weeks shared her frustration after she found out the truth, and users have called her husband a monster.
Are they still together?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It does say yes. She's cooled down. She says, I've cooled down a bit and I've let him come home. But I've made him make an appointment for himself. I don't know if that was with the vet or with
What's wrong with him if he's farting for 5 weeks?
She says she cooled off a bit. She let her husband come back home. And as long as he's made an appointment for himself. Now, the vet was confused before. He's definitely confused now.
I think someone's just made that up. Let's see. What's the most tedious story I can get Rod Gilbert to read out loud?
You said you never miss the froth, Greg. You said you listen intently every week. You never miss it, yeah?
Every Saturday. I save them up, yeah.
Every Saturday you save them up. That's good. You'll know then. You'll have heard, no doubt. Have we told you this before? I mean, I won't go into it in detail because it's been on the podcast. I'll just recap for anybody that enjoyed the story so much they might enjoy a recap, or somebody that didn't hear it in the first place, probably you, a friend of ours was... Yeah. Ended up on a kind of stag do situation, ended up sort of reluctantly in a strip club by the bar with the dancers dancing on the bar above them in the dancing area.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Have I told you this story?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I won't tell you it again.
Oh, no, I heard it. I heard it on the froth.
Oh, did you?
Recap for the listeners.
Okay.
Go on, Roz, recap.
So our friend is... at the bar area with the dancers, so there's drinks at the bar, and then the dancers are on the sort of table, the platform in front of him dancing. There's music, everything's going on. and he's been on a stag do. They haven't been eating well, or they've been drinking too much and things. Haven't been looking after themselves, and he decides he's going to have to release a fart that's been really bothering him. And he releases it, and then he sort of thinks he gets away with it. So then he starts releasing a couple more. And then after a while, the music stops, the dancers leave the stage, and it's in Scotland, I think, and over the PA comes the announcement, whoever's farting on the dance floor with this, stop it, it's disgusting.
It's fucking disgusting.
Whoever's farting on the dance floor, they stop the music with this, it's fucking disgusting.
It's still one of the funniest things I've ever heard. There's the video, by the way, listeners, there's a video of it on YouTube of him. He's been anonymized like a documentary, but the story's on there. And here, when I heard, you two told me the story first, and when he told it, it was even better than I thought it was going to be.
It's so funny. Great.
They stopped the strip club, put the music off, the dancers left. Until it was sorted out.
So the dancers were like mid-grind.
you know my farting story about my sister's friend, Helen, don't you?
No.
Helen, she's a good friend of my sister's, and her name's Helen. And she's really lovely. And she's got a hair trigger gag reflex.
Oh.
So if you even say anything to her that's a bit disgusting, she'll start to go a bit.
God.
And we were standing outside Lloyd's Bar in Shrewsbury in the 90s, and we were chatting away, and I just let a fart go, and she immediately vomited. And it was immediate. So I went, yeah. She went, hurrah! She didn't even have time to smell it. Just
was, so was it just a noise? Okay. Was it just a noise that she went off?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the association.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Did you have
if you're trying to keep a fart really like on the low down, someone just projectile. Oh my god.
All over the floor. We hadn't even started drinking.
Didn't you used to tell a story about a fart in a crowd in Spain? Didn't somebody fart on somebody's hand? Yes.
Yeah, it was. It was when there was some festival going on in Granada.
Oh, I farted on a guy's hand.
Oh my god! Go on. Yes. What?
What was it?
It was the Spanish guy went, "Hey!" when I farted, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
A cock.
What? You were in a crowd.
And I think the guy's hand brushed against my against my backside as I farted.
Just as you released.
So he felt the flutter and he immediately went, "Hey!"
Well, he sort of whipped his hand away. And...
Oh, cuppa.
Yeah, which you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, yeah.
Oh my God, inadvertent cuppa gov.
The lad right. I was at university with was hospitalised by lighting his farts.
No way.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah, he got a backdraft up into his bowels. It burnt his bowels.
I haven't seen the film. Is that what it's about?
With Kurt Russell.
Is that what it is?
It's true. He was genuinely hospitalised.
So what happened? He farted. Tried to light a fart in a jape, yeah?
Do you know what? As a jape, he farted.
Yeah.
It would have to be a jape.
Threw out a flame. But then as his presumably numb anus was closing, it sucked air back in and it sucked the flame with it and it burnt his bowels. And as I'm telling you this story, I've just remembered it wasn't someone I went to university with. It was one of my mum's friends who did it at a party when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah, no. And I know his name. I've just remembered his name and I won't say it because he's dead. And I don't think his family will want to hear it.
How fart too many.
How did he die?
He had to go to hospital.
No.
Genuinely. Greg, was he wearing trousers or was it a bare bottom fart?
No, the flame went through his trouser material and into his bowels.
And we shouldn't laugh.
I mean, my God.
You can shoot out quite a flame, apparently.
Well, this is disgusting.
If you push air out of
this is the Christmas special,
then,
guys.
Then it's gonna be a bit of blowback, isn't there? Well, there was with this.
I don't know. I've never done it.
It's the Christmas.
This is the Christmas special. Come on.
Don't light your farts, kids.
Yeah, don't.
Not even at Christmas.
Santa would disapprove of that.
Wasn't there a story with your... What was your story with your dad hitting your dog with a stick?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get really Christmassy if I'm telling that story.
Oh, yeah, please. No.
I'm a bit reluctant to do it because, I don't think it should go into a Christmas show. And B, I think it makes my dad sound cruel, and he wasn't cruel. My dad was a very gentle man, but the dog kept running away and causing chaos around the town. So he said, "I'm gonna tap the dog with a stick, with a tiny, like one of those wooden canes from the garden, like this it was. Yeah. So I'm gonna tap him, and just so he knows, you can't keep running away, you can't keep doing that." And we went into the other room, and my sister was upset, and we just heard this, and then we heard my dad go, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" And on being tapped on the backside with his stick, the dog had just spunked up everywhere.
It's like a magic wand.
Zwink.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Everywhere I go. Come on.
And the dogs are spunking up.
And my mum's friend burnt his bowel.
If I was your sister's friend, I'd have spewed at that point.
Yeah, good job she wasn't there.
Good grief. Oh, here. Can you imagine?
So I fart. So far we've covered me right. farting in front of a woman, her vomiting, a dog spunking up, and the grown man burning his bowels.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Come on.
On the 11th day of Christmas.
My tree.
Okay.
And appropriately with Greg's glasses, and tonight, thank God it's them instead.
I love you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, here we go. This is Christmassy.
Come on.
This is Christmassy. If we can't treat Christmas on this, then there's something wrong with us. Okay. This story is entitled Festive Tipple. Okay. We all have our hangover trick at Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. Back to the messages. Yes.
The festive season is in full swing, it says. Right? It says brackets, albeit dampened by COVID.
Well, yeah, apart from number 10.
I mean, it is.
It is.
It's in full swing.
Full swing at number 10 in 2020.
Yeah, the rest of us dampened by COVID.
Yeah.
Hey, keep it light, Sean. It's the froth. We don't do we don't do politics.
Sorry.
Greg is definitely checking his phone.
Yeah. I was.
The festive season is in full swing. Brackets, albeit dampened by COVID. Small print. There are bound to be hangovers on the cards, it says, right? So we're all enjoying Christmas, but enjoy it responsibly. That's the message here. Because we all have our hangover tricks, it says. From hair of the dog to a pint of water before bed, right?
To let you know where I am in the story, I'm taking an antacid.
From hair of the dog to a pint of water before bed.
I don't even need it.
To antacids. What's your hangover, your go-to hangover? Do you have a go-to hangover cure, Greg?
I used to, but they discontinued it.
What is it?
What was it?
What was that hangover cure? It was quite late 90s, early 2000s. It really worked for me. But
by the bell?
Resolve.
Resolve, yeah.
What happened to Resolve?
David Brent talks about it.
They must have found out it was dangerous because it suddenly disappeared.
It used to cure me.
I don't know.
It probably caused some sort of genetic mutations.
What happened to Resolve is a good question. We don't know. We don't know it caused a genetic mutation for legal reasons, Greg. So
I just have a Diet Coke.
Diet Coke, you're right. That's the only time I drink sugary drinks on a hangover. Now then, festive tipple, okay, is the story.
Okay.
So, there are bound to be hangovers on the cards, it says, and we all have our favourite hangover trick, from hair of the dog to a pint of water before bed.
My new system is I drink 3 pints of water before bed.
That's a lot.
Wow. Now then, well, Greg, perhaps the biggest myth around hangovers is that drinking lots of water can prevent or cure a hangover.
It can, though.
That's not true. That's not true. It does.
It really can. It says it cleanses your liver.
The rate at which your body clears the toxins produced by drinking alcohol, which is what causes your hangover, can't be changed. While water will help to rehydrate you during a rough hangover day, it won't stop a hangover from occurring.
It does, though.
Well, that's not true, because if you if you drink water the night you've drunk,
yeah,
if I drink 2-3 pints of water, then I don't have a hangover.
Yeah.
And if I don't have that water, I do have a hangover.
Yes.
Interestingly, it says here, the NHS disagrees. The NHS disagrees and says dealing with a hangover involves rehydrating your body to help you deal with the painful symptoms. The best time to rehydrate is before going to sleep after a drinking session, so drink lots of water.
Hey!
It makes sense, though. If you get to bed...
said it isn't?
This journalist.
If you go to bed after drinking a bottle of red wine and no water, and fall asleep immediately. You feel like absolute shite when you wake up.
But this article is all about whether a fry up is a good hangover cure or not.
Yes.
Well, what I put that to the test last weekend. I put that to the test.
Did you?
2 fry ups, 2 days. Absolutely disgusting.
Just to check, did you do any drinking at all or not?
Yeah, I was teenage drunk.
But seriously, I can't do that anymore. I just can't do it. I get old man drunk.
Nor can I really, Sean. But I just found a win. I was drinking what are those?
Is it margaritas?
No, those coffee.
Oh, espresso martinis.
I was drinking espresso martinis.
Oh yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Don't. Don't get me onto espresso martinis. I talked about it in detail on the Richard Herring podcast. I'm not going to talk about it again.
I was clinically depressed for 72 hours. After
it's horrible, isn't it? You're just convinced that everyone hates you after it.
So you drank espresso martinis and were clinically depressed for 72 hours. I drank espresso martinis, ran a mile across a clifftop, and then shat myself straight into my trousers and had to undress into a bin bag. So the rule is...
I remember it well.
I had to rinse his hat, Greg. I had to wash his hat.
You threw your clothes away, though, didn't you?
I threw all of my clothes away.
They went to a bin bag.
Do you know what occurred to me this only yesterday, funnily enough? Because what happened was, I won't go through it again, but I'll recap. Rosie, shush. I drank 7 espresso martinis, and then the next day...
It's time we had someone shitting himself.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone. The next day...
On the fourth day of Christmas...
I've realised something about that event. So just to recap quickly, it's on the Richard Herring podcast, the Leicester Square podcast. I spoke about it in detail. Basically, I had a lot of espresso martinis. The next day, we all went out for a meal on New Year's Day. I couldn't eat, I was too ill. Then we headed back for a mile walk across a cliff path. I realised I was in trouble very early on in that journey. I ran the rest of the way and across a dark cliff path.
Yeah.
Got back to the flat, got in the front door, got into the bathroom, put the toilet seat up, just about to sit down on the toilet, just inches away from the toilet, I was undoing my belt, trying to get my belt undone, and then I shat myself into my trousers, exploded into my trousers, and filled up like a piping bag. And then it went up my back.
I've got rings.
Oh my God.
It went up my back.
Like a baby.
Like a baby in a nappy. Up my back and up the back of my hat. That's how bad it was.
So that's why I had to wash your hat.
But wait. Then I asked you, I had to wait in there, in the bathroom, until you guys all came back. Then you guys came back and I said, can you pass me a bin bag? I can't move. So then I got into the bin bags, the huge bin bag, and undressed into the bin bag, all my clothes in the bin bag. But then I bagged all that up and I cleaned down the shower. But then I passed the hat out to you and said, could you wash that, please? And you washed it for me. Amazing. But I was in a bathroom with a sink and a shower. Why didn't I just wash it in there?
Why did I have to do it?
Why didn't I just wash it in
also,
there?
Also, I was saying goodbye to our guests.
I know.
Yes, of course I will.
Why did I pass out?
Have you had an espresso martini since that incident?
No.
I don't think you will.
No, I don't think I will. I think
because every time someone offers one to you, we both go, no, he won't. No. Can I just say, you know the bit where you say that you're running across the cliff? And bear in mind, it was pitch. It was like night time because it was about 6 o'clock in the evening. But there was a full moon. So all I could see, and also Barry, I think you were all walking alongside me back from this restaurant, was this tiny rod.
Like E.T.
Panicking and rushing in the moonlight across cliff top.
It's like...
to get home to shit himself.
It's like an episode of Poldark with an unexpected end.
It's like E.T., mate. That's what it was like.
I mean, it was quite beautiful. Just watching somebody across the clifftop in moonlight trying to get home.
Fumbling at his belt.
clutching your bottom.
RG, go home.
Oh, my God.
This episode is fucking disgusting.
It is.
RG, this episode. Yeah. We should do some non-disgusting stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
On the phone. Now then, I tell you. Okay, says you. So, did the fry-up option work? That's the question, Greg.
Well, I think it does help. And I think there's been scientific evidence that high fat, taking on high fat,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, in this article
does
here,
lessen the impact.
In the article here, it says a fry-up is not the best option if you want to shift that hangover. Oh, some say. As the festive season is full, I said that. If there was a cure to the blah, blah, I'm going to forget that. Doctors at Spire Healthcare said there are lots of hangover myths. Many Brits turn to the deliciousness of bacon, sausages and eggs to lift them out of a hangover slump. However, due to how difficult it is to digest these foods, experts said this may make you feel more sluggish. Avoid foods that will be harder for your body to digest, e.g. dairy products, refined sugar and fatty meat. These foods may also be higher in salt, which can worsen dehydration caused by a hangover. However, some experts disagree and say science supports the bacon butty. Sally Adams, a lecturer in health psychology at the University of Bath, wrote, "Perhaps one of the most traditional remedies for hangover is a plate of greasy bacon and eggs. Foods such as bacon, eggs, and even broccoli, contain an amino acid called cysteine, which scientists claim can decrease the amount of the toxic chemical acetaldehyde, which is produced as your body metabolizes alcohol. Acetaldehyde contributes to hangover symptoms such as increased heart rate, nausea, and vomiting. So, do you remember, Greg, do you remember the, this is a shared experience, do you remember the sea breeze?
In Thailand.
Wasn't it Hong Kong?
Yeah. It was Hong Kong, and I thought you were going to die.
We were doing gigs, I think it was Hong Kong.
It was Hong Kong.
I seem to remember it was a boozy week we were having. And I can remember, I can't remember much about it, but I can remember that we were going out a few nights in a row, and then we hit a bit of a wall, I think. We absolutely hit a wall where you go, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to go out tonight. We've been out three nights on the road, trot or something.
Yeah.
You know, late every night, drinking heavily and stuff. And then we went, we're not going to do it. And then we thought, should we just see? Should we just have one drink and see if it gives us a little lift? That's all. Just see if it gives us a little lift. I don't think it will. I think tonight is a write-off. I think we should just go home and have an early night. But let's just see if one drink gives us a little lift. And then we had a sea breeze. Which I'm not even quite sure what it is, but it's something like vodka, pineapple juice, and orange juice.
It's grapefruit juice.
Right.
It'll be the sugar.
Grapefruit juice, vodka, and orange juice, I think,
Right. And then the next thing I remember is, what do you remember about it, Greg?
Well, what I remember is that it worked and it turned into the most debauched night of my life without question. It was disgusting. And the reason I know that I remember, we were watching a covers band.
Yeah.
There's a lot of covers bands over there. We were watching a covers band, and you and I had bought two bottles of fizzy wine, like we were in the Bullingdon Club, and we're like tipping fizzy wine in each other's faces. It was disgusting. And then every bar we went in, we kept bumping into this huge German man in a tux. He had a tux, and it was like every time we went into a new bar to buy some fizzy wine to pour in each other's faces, he was there, and he was like, "Hello, boys," every time. And by 5 o'clock in the morning, we were hammered, and we went to get something to eat, and we went into this breakfast place, and that German man was sitting in the corner, and he'd fallen asleep, and he He's fallen asleep in front of the biggest fried breakfast I've ever seen. This is huge, like multiple rashers.
I remember that.
And we, item by item, we kept walking around the whole bar and taking it in turns to take an item of his breakfast and eat it. And in the end, we'd eaten all of his breakfast apart from the beans. All he had was a giant plate and a tiny load of beans.
And then apart from the bread, we ate the beans, no spoons.
And we waited him for him to wake up. And he was like this. And he did. While we were watching, he woke up. He went. And then he sat forward and he looked down at his breakfast. His face was like a fucking cartoon. He went like this. And then we started ordering more shots. I bailed out. It's like 6 o'clock. I bailed and you stayed. I didn't see you till the following night. And when I saw you, I thought you were.
That's right.
You're gonna die. Oh, Cameron.
And it was. I tell you what, it was a trip of high emotions. That because the other thing I remember is after a different piss up, I finished reading The Great Gatsby in the morning, and it upset me so much I had to go.
That was definitely a different morning.
I had to go and wake Rod up to talk about humanity. It was a good trip, that. Oh, and also, this one.
I don't remember bumping into that German guy at all. I don't remember seeing him at all that night, but I do remember seeing him slumped in front of the breakfast, and I remember vaguely us eating his breakfast from under his nose. And then I'm sure that you came to my room and I had a piece of bacon on my head or something. I'm sure I had a piece of bacon on my forehead.
I don't remember that.
I'm not sure I do either. But I could have sworn that the next day in the hotel, I came home and I had a rasher of bacon on my head. It might have been.
Maybe you missed when we were stealing the items.
I was once on. Or
maybe
a,
he did it.
A
I don't know.
Blind date. I went on a blind date when I was 16 or 17 to a Christmas ball. Like the other school's Christmas ball, and I was really nervous because I was going on my own. I didn't know anybody. So why was I going? It's fucking weird. I was in a ball gown and a tiara meeting this guy I'd never met before on a blind date. And I was so nervous that I went to a karaoke night first and got really drunk. We're like in a different pub. And then I got to the ball, which is like everyone's in tuxes and ball gowns and stuff, and did a pint of Top Shelf before meeting this guy. And I can't remember anything about it. Apart from,
do you mean when you say a pint of Top Shelf when they go along the optics?
Optics, and people were buying it for me because I was like, I'm really nervous. I don't know who he is. And then I don't remember anything about the evening apart from the next day. I was on shift in Marks and Spencer's. I was working in Marks and Spencer's at 6 a.m. on the till, going bip bip, like I was hanging with people coming in. Christmas time, obviously. What
happened on
the don't know, but people would come in. People like would go, hey, saw you last night. And I was putting the story together as they were coming in with their parents and buying stuff. And they were like, you all right? I saw you fall down behind Tesco. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then someone told me I'd weed in the street.
Oh.
On a first date.
Where was this? In Carmarthen?
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yay.
Bells ring. Are you listening?
Hallelujah. Yeah, but
I still went out with him for ages.
And a piss in the high street.
I still went out with him.
You still went out with him?
Yeah.
One spanking dog.
Yeah, for quite a while.
Oh, what a Christmas.
Look out to press Barry is because he knows he's got to edit this.
Okay, hey, just to finish off this story, it says hair of the dog, while effective for a short period, won't work. At some point, you're going to come crashing down if you keep drinking.
That's not true. It's not as bad.
I'll just give you some tips.
Because depends which dog. You don't want that farting dog.
This has been a bit of a debauched episode, so I should just say the health service...
It's absolute filth. I'm so sorry.
But listen, I can rescue this. by giving out some sensible festive drinking tips to people if they are going to indulge. Don't drink more than you know your body can cope with. Don't drink on an empty stomach.
How do you know how much your body can cope with until you test the limit?
Don't ruin it, Sean. This is the public health message I'm giving that will make all the rest of it okay.
Yeah, don't drink.
Don't drink more than you know your body can cope with. If you're not sure how much that is, just be careful. Don't drink on an empty stomach. Don't drink dark-coloured drinks if you found you're sensitive to them. Drink water or non-fizzy soft drinks in between each alcoholic drink, and drink a pint or so of water before you go to sleep. Keep a glass of water by your bed for a sip if you wake up during the night. There
What's
we go.
What's the thing about dark-coloured drinks? Don't drink dark-coloured drinks.
I think whiskey and dark rum and
they
stuff like that, they've got
you, aren't they,
stuff
they?
In them probably that yeah. makes them worse
like
for you.
Are they? Is awful. Yeah, hangover-wise.
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
Some people can
be sensitive.
You're better
off with vodka.
I certainly think, though, that with that lovely...
Well, yeah, because if you drink vodka, it means you're not up for a night out, Barry. But
honestly, right, when we were on tour, if I ever ordered a vodka, that was some of the worst hangovers I've ever had. I used to come to breakfast every morning just going, this has got to stop.
This is a real source of tension between Barry and I, and it's time we had it out.
Well, actually, we proved it by getting you hammered on vodka one day.
The Christmas episode is definitely the time to hammer this out. What is it?
Let's have it out.
So when we were on tour, after the gig, if I didn't have either beer or rosé wine...
He would
get really angry. If I went, I'll have a vodka, he'd look at me like, oh, right, you're having a quiet one, are you? And I'd be like, vodka is alcohol. Yeah. I will get drunk.
No, it was always his little sign when he wanted to have an early night. Have a gym morning the next morning. I always saw him, he'd quietly order a vodka and fresh lime, please. I go, all right, okay. Well, that's the end of the fun for the night.
It wasn't a Horlicks.
What if you'd ask for a vodka? Barry. What if you'd ask for vodka in a teapot?
Yeah, then we'd be on. Or if you put a Red Bull in it. But vodka and fresh lime, please. Oh, early night, is it? Well, enjoy the tour. Yeah, let's have a great laugh on the tour.
Yeah, so you have to eat your words a couple of months ago when I made you a couple of vodkas and you got absolutely hammered.
Yeah, but you deliberately put half a bottle into those drinks to make a point.
I did, yeah.
So this is when you're on tour, when Greg and Barry, when you're on tour together, you're talking about sort of have you ever had, this is just the last question from me, have you ever had, Greg? Special guest Greg Davis, thank you very much for joining us. We'll choose the winner in a moment. But have you ever had a sea breeze since that trip? I haven't.
I think I have had one, and I think it was disappointing. I think that night was I should have left my relationship with sea breezes to that memory of you and I. But I mean, the thing to remember is it wasn't sea breezes just made us go, oh, I think maybe we can handle another night. You know, and half an hour later, we're spitting champagne in each other's faces like it's the 1920s. The thing I liked about that German man was he must have been in five bars that we went into, and every time he was just at the back of the room and he'd caught our eye and go, hello, boys! Like he was expecting us.
I love that!
Well, Hello, boys!
I didn't realise we knew him. I thought I was eating a stranger's breakfast. Listen, it's time to go, folks. So, which of those is the froth of the week? Which of those is the bigger waste of time? The story about the farting dog that wasn't, or why fry-ups make your hangovers worse? Which story... God.
That
wasted
one?
Your
the
time.
The last one, that was the most pointless.
That was more pointless than the farting dog that wasn't. What do you think, Greg Davis, special guest?
Really. Yeah, of course. Everybody knows about hangovers and what's best for them by now. They run these stories every year. Lazy journalists run these stories. So it's the farting. It's the woman whose husband was hiding his fart. Is the winner.
Is the man who
is the least pointless.
The man who only fessed
it's
up.
The least pointless.
Just farting after his wife had a nervous breakdown. You're going with that as the best story, the better story of the two. Greg, thank you very much for joining us on the very festive Christmas episode.
Look at Barry's face.
I know, Barry's like...
He's so gutted.
Barry loves
Christmas.
We can put some sleigh bells under all of this. It'll be fine.
Yeah, pop a few sleigh bells under it, Barry.
I think we should write out all of the things that are in this into the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, and then we should record it for the end.
Yeah,
it'd be really lovely. It'd be a beautiful way to end.
It would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. And just put Holly on the sides.
One spunking dog. Nice to see you all.
You too, love.
Lovely to see you all. Thank you very much for joining us on the Christmas episode of The Froth. Special guest Greg Davis, Barry Castagnola, Sean Harris. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
On the last day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
12 husbands farting,
11 Sean's weeing,
10 Helen's puking,
9 Spaniards shouting,
8 Germans sleeping,
7 strippers leaving,
6 doctors spunking, 5 confused vets,
4 shitting hats, 3 top shelves, 2 cuckoo clocks, and a pregnant person with a numinous.
Merry
Christmas!
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you can find us at The Froth Podcast and our YouTube channel, where you'll get extra froth content.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars and spread the word if you enjoyed it.
This podcast was a Plan Bobble Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.